Grist to the Mill. Episode 1. A near miss for Grist.
Ah, you just can't beat the sound of a crackling log fire. Eh, Grist?
Quite right, Reverend. But unfortunately, an open fire just wouldn't be practical in this loft conversion.
You're so very wise, Grist.
Just wouldn't be safe with all these dusty old relics I've got housed up here.
I hope you're not including me in those, Grist.
Of course not, Reverend. Now just hold still while I readjust your dust sheet.
Very kind of you, Grist.
Now, how are you getting on with that bowl of Rice Krispies?
Well, man cannot live by bread alone. Yes, almost finished. Thank you.
And I'd nearly done crinkling up all my surplus cellophane and tissue paper into neat, evenly sized balls.
And may I say another job well done, Grist?
There. That's the last one. Well, we can go back down and see what Patricia's rustled up for lunch after our endeavours. I have a hunch it might be her speciality, deviled eggs.
Ah, now... There might be an ecclesiastical stumbling block placed in our righteous path there, Grist.
Go on, Reverend.
Yes, I fear, as a man of the cloth and upholder of the faith in the village, I cannot be seen to yield to temptation of comestibles tempered by the hand of the Dark Lord. I must remain strong and graciously decline your good lady Grist's deviled eggs. Plus, I have something of an allergy, I'm afraid. They give me a fiendish bowel.
Well, as you wish, Reverend. You know best about these matters, of course. Now, finish those Rice Krispies, at least.
Well, almost.
It's you boys, thank goodness.
Patricia, darling, whatever seems to be the matter?
Oh, David, I thought I smelt the sound of burning emanating from the upper mezzanine of the mill.
Oh, you sweet, silly darling. There, look at that precious face.
David, not in front of Reverend Hodge.
Oh, please, my dear Mrs. Grist. A man of the cloth I may be, but first... I was a man of the world. Eh, Grist?
Just take a look at that precious face, Reverend.
I can't actually breathe, David.
If that face could talk.
Ah, the stories it would tell.
I would hope that after 25 years of married bliss, not counting our trial separation from 1987 to 1991...
Ah, your bachelor years, Grist. You've always been a fan of their canned broths.
I would hope that you would know me well enough not to burn our little fully refurbished 15th century love nest to its expansive and well-tended grounds. No, no. Me and the good Reverend Hornch here.
Holiest warmth and God's breath upon you, my child.
And also unto you, Father.
Well, we're just going through some old things up here in the loft.
I hope you're not including me in those, Grist.
Of course not, Reverend. Now, just hold still while I line your box with tissue paper and polystyrene chippings.
Very kind of you, Grist.
Oh, mystery solved then. I was worried you'd accidentally unearthed a second batch of my first husband's Polaroids.
Patricia Grist, you're not hiding things from me again, are you?
David Grist, the very idea of it, perish the thought. But don't look in that drawer.
Ah, married life is truly one of heaven's most bountiful feasts.
Speaking of which, Reverend, I'm laying on a little light luncheon. It's just a little throwback to my years spent as a human sushi platter. Just some things to nibble and suckle on. Care to join us?
Sadly not, Mrs. Grist. I must abstain on religious grounds.
But we're nowhere near your churchyard. You sure I can't twist your arm?
Mrs. Grist, you're hurting me.
Well, perhaps another time.
Perhaps. Or as you so deftly put it, Mrs. Grist, another time.
David, will you help me spin the salad?
Yes, I'll be down in a jiffy.
Well, don't forget to wash your hands. And put some clothes on, for goodness sake.
One in a million, that woman.
At the very least. Your worthy bedfellow through this veil of tears, Grist.
I wonder what she meant by don't look in that drawer, though.
A word of caution, Grist. The female mind is akin to the Almighty's and is known to move in mysterious ways. Take not the forbidden fruit from the tree of knowledge. Heed me, Grist. Heed my warning.
Oh, come, Moffat, Reverend. Keep your powder dry for your Sunday sermon. Let's get that drawer open.
David, lunch is ready. I've made your favourite.
Be right with you, dear. But I'm sure I saw... In that drawer.
Right. Come on.
Come.
Okay, good afternoon, sir. You wanted to see me?
In?
Right.
Please. Sit.
Lovely. Thank you, sir.
Down. Not there.
No, of course not, sir. Silly me. Sorry, sir.
Or there. Here. Sit down here.
Just here, sir? On the beanbag?
Not on the beanbag. No, friend. That is reserved for informal breakout space torch showers alone. Do you think this meeting constitutes an informal breakout space torch shower session?
I can't exactly say for certain, Mr. Sorensen, sir. There might be the threat of a bit of drizzle later on.
Jonathan, friend. You've been with Sorensen Industries
For 44 years, Mr. Sorensen, sir. 44 years.
Impressive. You have somehow managed to survive my program of staff cutbacks and organizational restructures. I see from your files that you were a trusted associate of my father, Mr. Sorensen Sr. You're the last one of the old guard, Mr. Jonathan, friend.
Oh, yes, sir. Man and boy.
Where?
Just over there, sir, looking in at your window.
Forgive their intrusion. It's one of the downsides of having a ground floor office. Although access to the car park is unparalleled. Now, where were we, Mr. Jonathan, friend?
You wanted to see me, sir.
Only half correct, Mr. Jonathan, friend. I wanted to see you in my office.
Ah, I was so close.
But no cigar. Here, have one of mine.
Goodness. Cuban.
As the missile crisis and the heels on my python skin effect boots. Please, Jonathan, don't touch my instruments. They're for display purposes only. Brandy? I thought it would be a nice opportunity for us to get to know each other better.
Oh, no, thank you, sir.
You don't want us to get to know each other better?
Oh, no, sir.
You want us to get to know each other worse?
Oh, I just meant no thank you to the...
Your brandy.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And here, your cigar.
Thank you, sir. I don't usually...
But I insist.
But I don't even... I mean, the doctor said after my double lung bypass operation that I...
I insist?
Well, what harm could it do? You only live once, I suppose, unless the Buddhists are right. You only live once, if you're lucky. Some people don't even live once. Still, they wouldn't know the difference if they weren't ever alive, even in the first place. Which raises the interesting question of whether...
Here, Jonathan. Let me light it for you.
Oh, thank you, sir. Most kind.
Now... We are men of business, you and I, Jonathan, friend. Men of business, or businessmen, as one might say.
Oh, absolutely right, sir.
And success in business is a business of ours. Is that not so, Jonathan Friend?
No, like nobody's business, sir.
We are in the business of business. And so you would be in agreement then that our business needs to be nurtured. And a great deal of time and energy needs to be dedicated to it, which is an essential business in and out of itself.
We mean we need to mind our own business, sir.
Quite so, Jonathan Friend. So, what should we do when our business is threatened in some way?
Well, our emergency procedure states that we should proceed in an orderly fashion to the assembly points at the front and rear of the Sorensen Industries building, not stopping to collect bags, briefcases or coats, and wait for...
Wrong, friend. Quite wrong.
Oh, I thought...
No. We fight fire with fire.
Ah, now, sorry to butt in, sir, but would that not simply exacerbate the situation? If there were two fires, I mean. What our safety manual suggests is a colleague could put out the first fire before starting another optional workplace fire afterwards, sir. I'm just concerned with regards to the risk assessment.
Jonathan, I'll cut to the chase. You're a man of very few words, and I respect that.
Oh, thank you for observing that, sir, because most of the management in my department seem to be labouring under the misapprehension, sir, that I'm something of a giddy goose, and I...
Jonathan, friend. Tell me everything you know about Mr. David Grist. Everything.
Given name, David. Surname, Grist. Middle name, N.A. Full name, David N.A. Grist. Sex. Only if the occasion should arise. Height, 5 feet, 11 and 3 quarter inches in loafers. Blood pressure, low to none. DNA makeup, ATCG, ATCG, ATCC, ATCG, ATCC, ATGC, ATCG, 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 ATCC, ATGC, ATGC, ATCC, ATGC, ATGG, AATC, ATCG, ATCG, ATCC, ACGT. Wait. 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 I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm still waiting. I'm waiting. Tum ti tum. I'm waiting. I'm still waiting.
I'm waiting.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting.
Well, I'm sorry about that, Grist. The new Metatron 2000 does seem to have hit on some sort of snag and spun off and crashed somewhere on the information superhighway.
Amazing piece of kit, though, Doc. Medical technology in the surgery has come on leaps and bounds.
This baby is based on the refinements of NASA technology. There was one on board the Challenger shuttle, in fact. You could say it's a small step for man and a giant leap for... Actually, just be careful how you dismount from the gurney there, Grace.
Nothing broken but my pride, Doc. And this sealed petri dish marked POX 14. Amazing to think, though, that the 1969 Apollo moon module had less computing nous than today's modern washing machine.
Well, the fast spin cycle on our washing machine certainly sends me out of this world.
Mrs. Grist, we were just speaking of heavenly bodies.
Always a tonic to see you, Doctor. I've just come to pick up David. How's he been? Not too much of a handful, I hope?
Oh, no, Mrs. Grist.
Please, Patricia.
Mr. Grist can hold his own. He's been a delight as always. In fact, let me see if I have a little something for you, David.
So everything all right then, darling? Clean bill of health?
Oh, as right as pie, my sweet. As nice as rain.
Oh, goodness, I am relieved. You know, I've been so worried since that funny turn.
Funny turn? Where was that, Grist?
Rotary Club, Doc. Oh, Patricia, you needn't coddle me. I'm not a baby, you know.
There we are, Grist. I found your sticker. There, I've been a brave boy at the doctor's today.
Ah, smashing. Thanks, Doc. Love it.
Now, Mrs. Grist, is there anything I can do for you while you're here?
No, thank you, Doctor. I'm absolutely fine, thank you.
Yeah, I can see that. But I will need to give you a second opinion. Now, if you'll just pop your clothes on the stool... pop up on the bed.
Wait for me in reception, please. reception, David.
Right you are, but don't take too long. Not like last time.
We'll try not to. Not like the last time. Oh, and Grist.
Yes, Doc?
You might want to put your clothes back on.
Quite right. Thanks again.
Grist to the Mill was written and directed by Jeff Westby and starred Sol Reichlin, Ian Crow, Simon Holland, Roxanne Butler, Valerie Stewart, Paul Kerrison, and Annabelle Beasley. This has been an Unusual Sun production.